Mike, I don't know if you can hear us, but we're ready to hear you.
Hey, Mike, that was Chairman Burnett. He's reconvened the commissioner's meeting, and they're ready to receive your presentation. So the slide number one, the introductory slide, is currently being displayed, and you have the floor.
All right. Can you hear me okay, guys?
Hey, pretty good.
it's running, it's virtually complete as well. And so, if there's no questions there, I'm going to, Chief Cooper, ask you to move to slide number 12.
Mike, this is Commissioner Burnett. Can I just ask a simple question? And I think you probably have an answer, and I may know it. But can you explain why in Pinedale there's UHF channels only and Pipeline VHF only? Is that because they're in proximity working together, but we don't have the need for VHF and UHF at both of those sites?
Okay, I think I heard it was a little muffled, but I think what the question was why we only have UHF in Pinedale and then VHF up at White Pine, where all the other sites have VHF and UHF. Is that kind of the gist of it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So some of this design was done before my time. You know, I started in May 11. So I'll give you some of the theory of it, and Chief Cooper can probably add to this as well. So your network was initially expected to be designed using VHF channels, but VHF, there's a lot of interference and a very high noise floor in VHF, and so we added UHF to the network so that if we have unavoidable and unmitigatable VHF interference, we can fall back on or use UHF. And I think some people have a plan over time to actually move the network from VHF to UHF as the primary. And so I believe that the reasoning for putting UHF in Pinedale was so that we could get the very best in-building home radio coverage in the town of Pinedale. And that UHF would provide that. And the network, I think, has been designed, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chief Shared there, that Pinedale and White Pine sort of kind of go together, because they're pretty close. One at UHF for in-building coverage, and one at White Pine VHF for long-distance outdoor coverage. And so while there are six different tower sites, one way to think about it is there's really kind of five, and Pinedale and White Pine sort of work together, one VHF and UHF that are very close proximity. Is that a accurate way to describe it, Chief?
Yeah, you're spot on. That's exactly the intent. It's UHF in town for in-building penetration and coverage, VHF on top of the mountaintop repeater site to get broad, wide area coverage for the remainder of the county that can be seen from that White Pine mountaintop repeater.
And thanks for that, Mike. That's kind of what I thought, but I just needed clarification on that, so appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. So when Harris asked us to become involved in your project to help with to complete the install, they gave this pretty clear mission, and when I first came out in May, I heard very clearly from the sheriff and chief that they wanted this project, needed this project, and in this calendar year, by the time snow flies, that we can't wait longer. And so we have been running our schedule and with that top of mind, that we can finish and have you using your system by then September. And so there are some risks to that schedule, and that's what I wanted to talk about, some of those risks and how we're trying to mitigate them. And so, Chief, if we could move to slide number 12.
Okay, you're there now, go ahead.
Okay, and so if I look at the schedule of trying to get you online and your end users using the new system by then, these are the top risks that we are trying to mitigate and work around. The top one is VHF interference. We talked about that. And so you've actually turned on, lit up, and made test calls on the UHF side of your network. And when I was out there in May, and the network works great. The UHF side works fantastic. just going to have to figure that one out and turn on Master Five and change at the sites to figure out how much your insurance will cost. I'm probably most worried about a site like White Pine, where there's a, and Hawkback, by the way, where there's a lot of a very high VHF noise floor. And so those two sites, I think, are probably the biggest risk sites. The second risk item that we're trying to work around is cooperation for ISSI configuration. ISSI is sort of a techie term, stands for inter-subsystem interface. It's actually the connection between your new P25 system and the wireless P25 system. And so there's a technical issue there that works. It's just getting the political cooperation between the parties. And so we have made contact with WireLink and Motorola. We've kind of exchanged emails back and forth. And it's not that nobody is talking to us from them. It's just that we need to make sure that the information we have is received expeditiously. We're still pushing along that route. And you need that connection so that your users can talk to WireLink. And so we have a target date of getting that information in place and implementing ISSI on the 15th of July. If we can't get that political cooperation and information out of the state and Motorola, we'll have to go a different route. We have some alternate plans if we need to, but we are marching down the ISSI path full force. And a place that is a line of sand that we don't need to look at alternatives until digital iron. The third one, access to Kismet. We think we'll be able to access that things will be melted enough and dried up enough that we can get across the farm's property without going to Russell's field and get up the mountain to be able to install that site. And if we can do that by 6:25, we should be able to stay on site, stay attached. Timely access to the Pinedale Dispatch Center. We have access to Pinedale. We're actually working a plan right now to try and change where we install the site within the building there at Pinedale, try and speed time, lower cost, and make things more serviceable in the future, and that looks good right now. So I don't think that'll be a critical path for us. Phone lines and reliable internet. I believe we have reliable internet at Marlinson. You need internet access there at Marlinson to use the Beyond cell phone app. We have that. Making sure one of the phone connections. I'm sorry, was there a question that I missed?
No, I just received a text. Keep going, you're fine.
Oh, okay, all right. The other connection we need at Marlinson is the WireLink ISSI connection that we're working with Nate Swansky with WireLink on. And like I say, we have a 7:15 deadline for that one. So hopefully we'll be able to make that deadline as well. The bottom one, full foliage coverage testing. Once we get a system completely built, completely tested, and before we turn it over to your end users, we go through a lot of acceptance testing, and one of them is coverage testing. And coverage testing involves actually driving the roads of your county with a device that measures signal strength. And so that what we test is that we are providing coverage to the level that Harris promised in your contract. Generally, you need to do that coverage testing when there's full foliage leaves on the trees. And so in our world, we really need to try to get that done by about the end of load. that may be a potential solution here as well. But we'll have to talk about that when we get a little farther down the road. Those are I think the big risks. Some things I've been really happy with: the quality of the work that Rocky Mountain Communication System has done in installing the sites is very, very good. There is they've been top board dealing. We've had almost three or four Raycom people out. One who's been out full time for the past month. Tim will be leaving at the end of this week, and then we'll be bringing others in as needed throughout the course of the project between now and fall. There's sort of the main points of where we are on the schedule. Any questions or things that I missed, Chief, that I should have talked about?
No, I think that was a good summary of what we completed and what you're looking to for the remainder of the summer and the risks that you're faced with. So I'm pleased with that. If there's any questions, though, I guess. All right. Everybody's shaking their head no here, Mike.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll be happy to meet you guys face to face sometime later this summer, and look forward to completing the project for you.
That sounds good, Mike. Look forward to seeing you again. Thank you for your presentation.
You bet. No problem. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye.
Chad, do you have anything you want to add?
I'll have nothing further.
Okay. I guess we're ready for Jeanette, so. Welcome.
Thank you. Okay, catering permits. Initially, when you received the packet, I noted that we had two catering permits from the Boulder Bar. Since then, we have received a third. Apparently, people are still having their activities through COVID-19. We did issue one because the date was going to be prior to this meeting of that event, so we'll be asking for retroactive approval on that. That was for the Todd Stevie Horse Sale, which was June 13th at the Big Ten Fairgrounds. The second was an event at the Boulder Community Center that is on June 16th and June 20th. And the third that we received after the time of the due date of the packet was another catering permit also for the Boulder Bar. It would be for June 20th at the Miller Ranch, and it's a benefit for a little girl named. So I would ask for approval of those three catering permits for the Boulder Bar, one retroactively.
Okay, Janice, who is the benefit for them?
Swayze.
Okay. So we have a request for three catering permits for the Boulder Bar, one retroactive for last weekend, and the other one for June 19th and 20th, and then we have a separate one for June 20th at the Miller Ranch. If I could get a motion to approve these catering permits. So
second.
Any discussion? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, the second item is the contacted Scott Sargent, who was a recommended hearing officer. Matt Gaffney is familiar with him and also said that he would be a good option for us. He was not available on August 25th, which was the date that was set for the evaluation hearing. He is, however, available on August 27th and 28th if you would like to move to change those dates. Otherwise, we can try to continue with that same date and find a different hearing officer.
Commissioners, what's your preference? The 27th is a Thursday, 28th is a Friday. We had that meeting that was scheduled on Tuesday the 25th. How does moving that meeting to August 27th sound for you gentlemen? Friday? Any other conflicts or comments, we got a suggestion for Friday the 28th. Joe, we're talking about moving, or having to move the date for the county board equalization.
Oh,
because the date of the 25th was not suitable for the
What are we looking at?
We're looking at either the 27th or the 28th, which is a Thursday or a Friday.
I'm thinking people would.
Okay. Matt, how about you?
I have no problems with either day.
Commissioner Baker? So, I have no problem if we want to move that to Friday. We need a motion to amend or to change our date. With the hearing officer from Tuesday, August 25th till Friday, August 29th. 28. Thank you. Do we have a motion to move?
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion? Now, do we have to list the time, or is that dependent upon Mr. Sargent?
But I would suggest, without legal knowledge, that if you leave it open, then as long as we just can have it for that date, also for your information, we're down to one remaining appeal.
Right. So we have a motion to have it moved to the 28th, the time to be determined after the councils get together. So if there's not any other discussion, I'll call the question. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We'll move it to the 28th.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, I think Clayton may be a few minutes late. He's in on another call.
We have one more thing, Mr. Chair.
We do? Okay.
Tracy's going to be retiring at the end of the month, so we have a great call for you.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, Tracy, for all those years. Thank you. We will miss you, but I don't know if he will miss us.
Thank you.
Good luck and have fun with retirement.
I will. Thank you.
We thought you'd like the birds.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Matt Chalmers, it's beautiful.
I pay for that. I will, Tracy.
Okay.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
I don't think we're prepared for 10:30, and Clayton's not here for 10:15, so we might just take a short recess till either one shows up.
Okay, I'll send Clayton a text.
He had a meeting he had to go to.
Oh, okay.
What is this with the University of Wyoming in introductions? Is that part of FNF?
I'm assuming that's persons? The new 4-H person.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you get that board packet by email ahead of time?
No.
I didn't either.
Sheriff brought
I didn't
that
see anything till today.
Yeah, the sheriff brought that to us.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I didn't get in on Friday because I was busy. Yet.
Yeah.
I kind of like to look over the bills at the time before we approve them, but I
didn't. I've had company for, this will be going on 3 weeks.
Steady?
My wife is pulling it out. Yeah.
She's,
no, hell, I don't have any relatives anymore, Joel. These are just old friends that
just
come.
Old friends.
And all with this COVID-19, they all said, hey, could we come here? Could we come here? And so, well, yeah, sure.
They're looking to get out.
Well, and they want to go fishing. So we went fishing.
They got their fishing guide.
They have their fishing guide. They've always had their fishing guide. Yeah. Oh, man.
Who is the lady?
No, I've got a lot of water.
And I'm all
just
in the
toilet. fish are safer.
They had a problem too.
It's like the lady when you take a picture of her kid in the park and you're in the public library, you take a picture of her ass. You know, if you don't want to see it, just change it.
Yes.